Hi, Shirley.
Am I the first?
Yeah, you are. Welcome.
Good to see you. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're not as quiet as you usually are, but I don't know what I did is I practically got my computer under my chin tonight. I guess it's just, I have an older computer. Maybe the microphone on it is not as sensitive.
Yeah, I did something one time that I can't quite find now. Let me see here. I'm going to go under the microphone and look at audio settings. And I put my volume all the way up to about 100% and my microphone up to 100%. So I think that
Yeah,
helps.
that's what I've got right now. Well, let's see. I don't know about the microphone part of it.
So do you see where that is? The little up arrow next to the mute on the microphone? At the bottom left-hand corner?
Okay, I've got what I have here is I have my microphone, or the thing that looks like a speaker. You
Yeah,
know,
right.
blasting out stuff, and that's good.
But see,
Oh, wait.
right to the right of that, there's a little up arrow, and that gives you more instructions on the audio.
Yeah, well, mine doesn't have that. Oh, wait a minute. It says speaker, headphone, Realtek audio, but there's nothing there. To the right of mine is something that is the Windows Ink workspace, and it shows a little thing drawing. So let me see which this one is. Internet.
So when I do that, when I set the little up arrow, mine has select a microphone, select a speaker, and the very bottom says of mine with that little up arrow says audio settings, and that's what I checked on. And also test speaker and microphone on mine is another choice.
Yeah, I don't have anything. Wait a minute. Show hidden icons is the only thing I have.
Well, that helps. That may help.
Yeah, it might. There is a microphone. No, it just says it's being, let's see, allow access to the, let's see, allow apps. Everything is turned on.
I
Let's
can hear
see.
you fine. I guess it's just whether you can hear me at this point.
Yeah, I can. I can hear you
Okay.
pretty well, much better than I usually do.
Okay.
One of the things that does happen, I've noticed in these meetings, is that if everybody has their audio on, if everybody's unmuted, is you it degrades the sound. So.
We can change that. I'm going to go get my calendar, okay? I'll be right
Okay,
back.
sounds like a great idea. There we go. Oh. Could I just turn this from view speaker to view the gallery? So you and I seem to be the only ones in the gallery so far.
Right. We're the only ones here.
But I know Bernadette knew about it because she mentioned to me yesterday to that she would be here. Mute. Let's see this. Audio settings. Let's see. Well, everything on my speakers and my microphone are 100%. So I've got them turned up as far as they'll go. Oh, if I just kind of doze off tonight and fall off, the side of my chair, just call Louie and tell him he needs to come scoop me up. I am walked out.
You know,
I got it.
This getting old is just really, you know, there are some joys to it, but there are just some real limitations, and energy is one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I woke up this morning at 5:20, which is about 2 hours too early. And I got up and I didn't feel well in the early morning hours, but I got feeling better. I did my physical therapy and then I went and got a massage and came home, and I just finished having some beef stew, and I will probably go into a food coma here very shortly.
You know, I had somebody else say that they were making beef stew for today, and it was snowing out, and that's what I made. I made a big pot of beef stew. Yep. With veggies in it. Yeah, that just seems to be the meal choice for the day.
Yeah, well, Louie was out yesterday, and he was shopping and for groceries and so forth, and he's the one who suggested it yesterday, so I did the meat part of it yesterday and let it sit overnight and kind of age or mellow or whatever it does. And then today when I came home from my massage, I just threw in the vegetables and so on. Do you know anybody named Peggy Harrington?
I do not.
Okay. Well, she requested, asked me to confirm her as a friend. When I went in to see who her friends were, it's a number of local poets. So I thought, okay, you know, and one of them was Noy Lara. And so I kind of wonder if perhaps she is interested in getting into the poetry group or something. So
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'll write her back again. And I'm always a little reluctant when people, you know, ask to be my friends and then they send me a little thing that says, how are you doing? And I'm thinking, huh?
Here's Anne Marie. Yay.
Oh, good.
I'm just going to call her.
Yeah. Great.
Well, I admitted her and she disappeared.
Oh.
There she is. So did you write a love fantasy?
No, because I've been busy with others, but I did get two that I've already written, and I thought, okay, those are pretty much love fantasies. Didn't realize it at the time, but they stand up pretty well now.
Okay, good. Okay, Anne Marie, if you could unmute yourself and turn on your video, bottom left hand corner there. We can't. I can see that you're present, but I can't hear you and I can't see you. Anne Marie.
Maybe she thought that it would take her a while to get in and did like I did and, you know, tried to sign in.
There,
and then,
now it is.
There, hooray. Anne Marie, how are your ribs? Oh, she's muted again.
I've got Carol here and I'm trying to answer her.
Hey, there we go. You are muted.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hey, he can hear me now. Okay, thank you. He's shaking his head. All right. I'm here. Oh.
Sarah, I'm back. Just wanted to grab this little.
Hi, Emery. So glad to see you.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I'm healing very quickly, very nicely. I'm so glad I'm sleeping in my bed instead of on the chair. I slept for 4 weeks on a chair because I couldn't lay down flat.
Oh, that sounds not horrible. So comfortable. Not so comfortable, not such a good sleep. No.
But I'm sleeping in bed, and I started driving yesterday, so really slowly. The seatbelt didn't hurt too bad. So
do you want to go on Sunday with me?
Yes, as long as we're definitely not staying over, because Bill has surgery on Monday morning. So,
something okay and quick.
I'm hearing Shirley all muffled. Didn't hear her at all.
Oh, here we go.
There you are.
I'm going to admit Bernadette. Here we go.
I said I hope that Bill's surgery is quick and very successful, and that it's just something that you are going to have done quickly.
Me too. Hope it goes quickly.
Give him our best.
I will. I've been doing Reiki on him for a whole week, so I'm feeling confident everything's going to be fine.
Anne-Marie, there's another possibility about driving down. Well, not really, if you're only now getting to the point where you can drive. And that is that we had a little meeting here, a little task force meeting, and met, you remember, do you know who Marissa Prada is?
Is she the one that was on our guest last month?
Ask to unmute, Bernadette. Unmute yourself and get yourself there. Off of the video. Take yourself off the video block.
There we go.
You are.
Okay. Well, anyway, Marissa was interested. She is the convention chair.
Oh, yes.
She is interested in going down to TRC, but she is strapped for funds. And anyway, I know that Zach sort of suggested to her that they carpool, but, you know, if there's, and then we would need to, okay. So, but if you can go down with Quan on Sunday, you can come back with Bernadette and me.
Oh, that's
Sunday night.
Sunday night. Yeah. We'll be coming right back. We're going to go down on Saturday and stay over, but we'll be coming back Sunday night. So you'll have a ride down and back with people, you know.
Okay. I just can't spend the night because I want to be here for that. Yeah. Monday morning.
So Anne-Marie, then let's later after the meeting, let's coordinate you and I getting together so you can go down in my car on Sunday morning.
Okay. What time are you leaving Sunday morning?
It's a 2-hour drive and we need to be there by 1. So I think probably get there in time for lunch or something. So probably around 9:30 or 10.
Excellent. I can be ready. Yeah.
Okay. Would you need for me to pick you up then?
No, we can go like we always do, park over at the Albertsons, you know, facing the street. I'll park my car and then you pick me up there at you said 9:30. I'll be there at 9 at 20 after 9 and sit there and read a book until you're ready.
Okay.
All right, got it. Thank you, ladies, for letting me
get out of the way. I hope you do get a chance to meet Marissa, because you two are kind of like the same. You are peas in the same pod of absolute enthusiasm. She is just irrepressible, I'll tell you. She's great. Okay.
Okay, so it looks like Carol's not going to make it. And I would like to, Carol Borsello is the chair of the TRC Black Cats Poets. And she was with us last time, but it looks like she's not going to make it this time. So that's okay. And I just want to say welcome. Thank you guys for showing up tonight.
Our fun.
Hey, hello, Bernadette.
I'm looking forward to our road trip to TRC this Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to getting out of Dodge despite the pandemic, guys.
You know? That's right.
Me too.
Yeah. We had our shots, so we're going to be fine.
I think we are. Yeah. And Bernadette, you've had COVID and you've had shots and everything, haven't you?
Yeah, and COVID's hit my family. It just hit my family again for the third round.
And you had your shots too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
who got it this time, Bernadette?
This time it's my son and his two children. So, and they live across the street. But I told him stay away for 5 days. You can't come around.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's a regular flu too that has nothing to do with COVID that is going around, and a lot of people are catching that. Can't hear you, Quan.
Bah, humbug.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, guys, let's see where we are. The next meeting that we would have would be on Wednesday, March the 2nd. And I don't know what we've got. Think about what you want for a theme for March. And let's get started with whatever you brought tonight then.
Oh, I gotta get it.
Okay. I'm gonna put us down for that night too. Okay.
And this is Groundhog Day.
Yes.
And I think we're going to be having another 6 weeks of winter, gang, after today.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's really miserable. Afraid so.
We had a little bit of snow here.
Well, we have a little here, and I don't think it's done yet.
No, me either. Bill put a horse blanket over the horse, and it was snowing so hard that he couldn't keep the snow off the blanket before he could put it on the horse. Mm.
So the horse doesn't have a corral then?
He does, but it's supposed to go down to be very, very cold tonight, and he wanted a blanket on him. It's a special blanket for a horse, and he wanted to keep him. So he does have a corral, but he can get in and out. A lot of the times he doesn't like to stay in his corral.
Well, I hear that the wind is going to be pretty nasty. So maybe decide that the corral is a good idea.
Yeah, he can go in and out. He's pretty smart horse, but we put a blanket on him anyways. So,
okay.
Or Bill did.
Okay. Who would like to start us off tonight?
Well, before we do, I have one other thing that you may or may not have seen. Did you get Billy Brown's announcement of a new way to do the Fixed and Free anthology?
No, because, I did not.
Okay, he is going to start a quarterly. And it says he will publish in the months of March, June, September, and December. Beginning with volume one, issue one in March 2022. The deadline for that is February the 8th, which is not that far away. But it kind of sounds like poems appearing in each issue will generally be poems read during the Fixed and Free readings in the previous recent months. And so anyway, I imagine that we can put this on our Facebook page.
Oh, okay, here's Carol. Here's, okay.
Oh, good.
Okay, I don't know how long she was there, so I was just, I hope I wasn't snoozing too long.
Okay.
There she is. Hello.
Hey, hi.
Hello. You had to let me in. I had to let the cat in. Everything hit at once.
And here's the cat.
Those cats. Hey. The staff for the cats, yes.
Yeah. How are you all?
Good. We're good.
Is healing. We're thrilled about that. And she thinks she can go on Sunday. So we're thrilled. Yeah.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah.
Brenna, I loved your email to Zach.
So emails to our executive board, I'm going to copy all of us on them. So that way we know we have a better communication.
I wrote him one, but it's a ripper. So we'll see if he responds or not. I'm a shields up if you're with me person, unless you want to hear what I have to say. So I don't know how gently he has to be treated, but I have no mercy and I have no patience.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not in this meeting.
But we did accomplish some things, Carol, just so you know. We got, I contacted Debbie and we got Shirley's extra chancellor should be removed from the website. We also got Janetta putting in her information onto the website. So as I see that her things are needed, I'm copying all of us and sending those on the email as well. So just so you
know. Thank you. And if, one more just piece of business, excuse me, but Debbie did say she has a whole spreadsheet of everybody who's a member.
Yes, she should. And just so you know, in the past, I have had a spreadsheet too, and I have the past ones, but they need to be updated. And Zach should have updated ones. And if he can't get them, then we need to see how we can get access to them.
Okay. Actually, I talked to Debbie today. And she said what she's going to do is rather than having her have to initiate everything and send everything out to everybody else, she is going to fix it so that chapter chairs and executive officers will be able to access their own little domains on the website. She'll let you know how to get in to see all of the things you need, like one for our chapter, for example. And it'll be separated out and Scott will be able to see his chapter, et cetera, et cetera.
Perfect. Yep.
Good. Okay. So now we're back to poetry. All
right. And I don't know if I'm a member. I did not pay dues, but I paid twice as much the year before. And I think I got an email last that said not to pay for this year because I paid too much last year, so I was supposed to be paid up for 2 years, but I'm not positive if she's still accepting that. So I'll have to find out.
Well, you could always buy a lifetime membership, then you'll never have to worry about paying it again.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Did I tell you
for that long?
I just finished paying off my car. Okay. So here's my line about that. The car loan has lasted longer than all three marriages.
Well, you know, they're more dependable than men, I think. So, yeah.
It's also electric. I have a good one. I'm not saying a word. I got a good husband.
You do have a good one.
Yeah, so does Shirley. Shirley's got a good one.
They're out there, but they're not recycling them.
Yeah. Man has outlasted my car.
I got a keeper too, so.
That's right. See, we got keepers. We're not losing them.
Yeah, I got a cat. That's about to.
And I have a cat too, Carol. So we're on the same page.
Yeah. And there are some, you know, some people just drive lemons off the lot.
Let's go to poetry. Bernadette, you've waited so patiently. Give us your poem.
Well, we have one about love fantasy, right?
Ooh, yeah, that's right. Let's hear your love fantasy, Bernadette.
Okay. It's called Preserved. Preserved.
Preserved. Oh, okay.
Come where forbidden shadows dwell, deep dark hollows foliage amongst thy marshy ground. As bare feet swell, they are soon soothed by greenery beyond limits of constriction. Muggy, cold, wet weather, sticky, humid air, persistent to come in contact, haunts with intent to fear. Free beliefs from wintry spell. Chill spares no regard. Hold my hand as I dwell. Travel scathed from unseen eyes. Destroyed our passages, unknown deadly cries. I thank you for your company, for not many visit here. Vitality shroud my vision, thou path unclear. Dark magic exists. I bring grave news of this. With the eagle at my back, I move forward, destined for my fate, determined to overcome. I clear through the rubbish, worthless shrubs. From here I venture alone, seeking redemption, changing like a chameleon, treading in heavily wooded tract, secluded within a realm of possibility. Hidden, I succumb. Petrified, I am preserved. Immortal, I will live forever.
Wow.
Yes. Who's next?
Okay. I have one called Forever Valentine. Okay. Wrote it a long time ago.
Before you start, I have to tell you.
I can't hear you, Shirley.
I can't hear you, Shirley. Let's everybody mute then right now.
Okay. So I said, before you start, Anne-Marie, I'm going to snitch on you to Carol because she doesn't know this. Anne-Marie is probably the only one amongst us who has published a poem in Playboy. But she doesn't know. She was told that she was going to publish a poem in Playboy, but she wouldn't buy the magazine to see it.
Not you even know, put under your bed. You know who got me is George Forrest is the one that got me stuck to do that. It was George Forrest. I took a class with him, and the class that we took, he had this bowl, and then inside the bowl there was a name where we had to submit a poem. And he said, no matter what you get, you will submit a poem. So I picked out Playboy and I said, George, I got Playboy. They don't have poetry contests. Yes, 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 they do. Well, they didn't. So I sent my poem anyways, and they sent me a cookbook. I have to find it and show it to you. It's called, it's a erotic cookbook. It's called Erotic Cooking. Erotic cookbook, and that's what they sent me for my poem. And then they said they were publishing it in one of their magazines. So I got Wonderful. Published in Playboy.
I have visions of pickles and bananas with you, Anne-Marie.
Strawberries and there's all kinds of cooking in that cookbook. It's erratic cooking is what it's called.
All I saw was oysters.
So my poem is called Forever Valentine. I believe it all starts with an innocent hello, where a young girl blushes with a guiltless glow. The advances mature into some frolic flirting, while the young maiden's heart initiates yearning. A twinkle sparkles in her virtuous eyes, to offer her escort encouraging sighs. So hopeful, he becomes as time is shared, while his love deepens into something sacred. Her gentle nature kindles his affection, drawing reflection, thoughts of conception. Holding hands and walking side by side, he ponders amorously for his bride. Days have passed and years have gone. Together they stayed from sunset to dawn. Their love still strong and deeply entwined. Devoted, they are forever Valentine.
Aww.
That was it. That was my Valentine.
Lovely.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Who else? Okay, Shirley.
Okay. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is from my old book. Okay. First, I'll give you just a couple of little things. You've all seen that picture of Venus rising from the waves. You know, the gal on the clamshell who's hidden in her hand. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the title of that, I think, is called Venus Rising. And anyway, I had that in mind when I wrote this too. Venus was in some of the Greek mythology. She and Vulcan, the god of fire, the one who gave his name to volcanoes.
Yes.
Okay. They were always having affairs or liaisons or marriages or just, you know, hanky panky. So yeah, everyone had with numerous others, looks like in the Greek mythology. But okay, here we go. Venus rising. I could have floated forever in this tranquil and virginal sea, slept in its sapphire cradle untroubled by lust's urgency, had Vulcan not roused me from slumber, his lava kiss sizzling the foam, his summoning song of desire flowing out from his fiery home. What fanned my heedless abandon, made me rise to tumultuous air, forsake my blue spread of deep ocean for his crimson bed as I dared? How could I resist the blaze burning, though I could not name its true source, nor what in my body was yearning to melt in the glow of his forge? From that day, when the fire was ignited, the impulses driving me surged. In hammering of heart, I delighted, to anvil of love, I emerged. He was also a blacksmith.
He had a tire company too, I think.
You kept locking up like several times. Like now you're locked up.
Oh, well, I'm just not saying anything. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay.
But I hear it, and it sounded very heated. like the Vulcan should be.
I can't hear you. You're muted, Juan.
I think you had an internet snafu is what you had.
Oh,
and so,
okay.
So she only heard part of what you said.
Should I read it again?
That would be all right with me, and hopefully I can hear it all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's really a cool one.
And I'll try to keep my face turned right straight at the microphones too. I could have floated forever in this tranquil and virginal sea, slept in its sapphire cradle untroubled by lust's urgency. Had Vulcan not roused me from slumber, his lava kissed, sizzling the foam, his summoning song of desire flowing out from his fiery home. What fanned my heedless abandon, made me rise to tumultuous air, forsake my blue spread of deep ocean for his crimson bed as I dared? How could I resist the blaze burning, though I could not name its true source, nor what in my body was yearning to melt in the glow of the forge? From that day, when the fire was ignited, the impulses driving me surged, and hammering of heart, I delighted, to anvil of love, I emerged.
That is really good poem, yeah.
And she's not even blushing, hey.
Nah.
Can't see it in this way.
She's been married 53 years. She's not blushing anymore.
Yeah, I've been married 56.
Oh, 56. That's right. You were 3 years more than us.
What? She was 3 years old? Really?
Yeah, three more than us.
Well, I have one that's a little bit on the long side, but if you want to hear it, it's called Words on Words. I was talking in my sleep. I work to yawning whispers coming from the corners. Wondering, I swung my feet over the side of the bed. My room was full of scraps of paper. I rubbed my eyes. I slid from covers suddenly brittle with handwritten promises, crackling with nomenclature. I slipped my feet into poems like slippers. They were old and comfortable, soft, furry, warm. I shuffled into my tiny kitchen, stepping on a trio, eggs and toast and coffee. These rose like dusted gold clinging to my ankles. Pajama bottoms caught on verbs, pairing the hems, sticking like chestnuts on fringe. I glanced down, marveling at adventuring. I plugged in the coffee pot. I had to push movie and blog into the sink to make room for my cup. I reached for the honey atop the fridge as square and tiny and postcard new fell on the floor. I put the water up and both hands down, marveling at fistfuls of adjectives attractive and makeshift and hearty. I pulled out bowls from the cabinet and began to gather unfinished thoughts, putting the flat plates on top to hold them down. Their susurration sibilant, hissing in containment. I pulled the broom from corner and went to hands and knees to fish the palindromes from under the fridge. These I sealed in Tupperware for later. Mm-hmm. Everywhere, the swirl and swill of language bit and scrapped on rice paper, parchment, recycled news, marginalized blue ink, picture houses of words forming up and down. Words marching, singing together, filled the bathroom, sticking to the shower walls. I plucked and pulled and gathered until each drawer was filled. Each cabinet groaned to close. My rock collection held down what was left. Triumphant at last, I sat to read, but all the books were blank and innocent and blind.
That's great. You know what, Carol? You used something in that poem that nobody in the Southwest would have thought of.
Palindromes?
No. Chestnuts hanging on fringe. You know, around here, nobody knows what chestnuts are. I mean, we don't encounter them.
Use goat heads in a lot of poems, too.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I can't hear you, Quan.
I can't hear you.
Images are so great, and then I can see all the words in with the Tupperware and the pick plates and the bowls and the thoughts and the fridge. Yeah,
it was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you for that.
Juan, do you have a poem?
I do. I have a very very short one. I spoon to serve. Handle. With the crescent moon curve, ladling galaxies with herbal teas, into a mouth creased with a pleased smile of a laughing child.
Ooh, that's cool. Smile with a laughing child. I like the ending.
That's it. Okay, does anybody have anything else?
Sure, I'm going to read that one that ended up in Playboy.
It's
called Love and Passion. This is the one that ended up in Playboy that they
published it, and I called it Love and Passion. I wonder what they thought, since they didn't have a poetry contest, and I wrote the letter that it was to enter their poetry contest.
I wondered how you segued in. Good girl.
All right. Open your eyes and look at your mate. Give him some love. Don't hesitate. Caress his loins with passion and lust. The desire within grows stronger, robust. Don't judge him or change him. Remember your first spark and vim. Whisper sweet words of caring that enhances the romantic sharing. The sexual encounters are blissful indeed, but the compassion, completeness is what you need. The relationship swells with a wanting desire to be fulfilled as a thrusting fire. Sensual excitement explodes in burning devotion to relinquish again with raging emotion. Well, that was definitely for Playboy. Really racy. They loved it.
Hey, you got a cookbook out of it, right?
That's right. Erotic cookbook.
They were trying to domesticate you.
Probably. Okay. Whose turn?
I have one that was put in a book a while back. It was put into Romantic Morsels.
Ooh.
I think it fits this subject. It's called Nasty. Salty is the skin I lick. The sweat runs down my bow. Passion builds. Your calloused hands, gently yet rough, rub my inner thighs. Close my eyes. Inside I whisper to myself, stop it. But you see, I like it. You need to be dirtier. Oh, yes, I'll tease. Flirt, then please. You're going too fast. Slow down. Savor. Lust. Caress my bust. Hold me close. I need another dose. Kiss my lips. Taste the sip. Quench thy thirst. Drink from my soul. This is love to ye behold.
Whoa, Bernadette. Nice. I didn't know you had that side.
Uh-oh.
Nice. You
never know.
Well, too.
Shirley, it's your turn. Oh no, it's Carol's turn. Yeah, your turn.
My turn. Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So can you guys still see me?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm on my blog. I went to pull up one from my blog. Here's a change of pace. I can't find the racy ones right now. They're in here somewhere. But this had some interesting lines, I thought. It's called We Strip the careworn dead, their mortal coil. We love their toiled hands, their knobby feet, their centers and extremes. We lay them flat in underground and secret passageways to heaven's scrollwork gates. We bless and praise them in our tears. We brush the wood encasement with messages posting to God, even as we bury them below. Convoluted path to him indeed. Our last dance, one single step again. We dreamed this all before and will once more.
Wow.
It was on the death of my mother. Yeah.
Good poem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was a good tribute. Yeah. All right.
I have one. After all, romance and food seem to go together.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, This one is from my Ditch Bank Diaries. And the little intro to it talks about sopapillas. Okay. All right. And then I do a little essay about it. When tortilla dough is leavened and cooked like Indian fry bread in nearly smoking fat, it puffs dramatically into a pocket with a crispy shell and chewy interior, a perfect wedding of old world ingredients and New Mexico enchantment. And the poem that goes with this is called Comida Real, which it translates food fit for a king. And you'll hear, listen for the word hands in this. It repeats a lot. Her fingers speak to dough. It speaks back to her hands through spongy stretch of gluten, encasing latent bubbles, warm as puppies sleeping in a slowly westering sun. The pliant pillow yields a sigh as the heels of her hands sink under body's weight toward the flour-dusted table, sculpting what she yearns for as she lifts, kneads, and turns. Released by rocking motion, weaving rhythms of her hands, a remembered spell of guitar, fire, fandango. He was troubled that she welcomed when he sauntered through the room. His eyes a sparkling challenge when he took her by her hands, like a sopapilla deftly lowered into a simmering kettle. She slipped beneath his surface, let her universe expand.
Nice.
Good.
I still think that some of the most erotic art is the art that gives you an idea what might be happening but isn't too graphic.
Right. Just the innuendo is all you need. It makes the imagination work for you. So yeah, way better. Quan, your turn.
I don't have any sexy stuff. So I don't.
All right, read something of yours. Okay. Time to shift, anyways. Quan.
I got to make sure I'm unmuted. There we go. So I'm going to read. This is a kind of a prose poem. It's called A New Hope. I think I read it once before for Anne-Marie. Let's see. The male god Zeus and the male mythmakers have scapegoated the release of pestilence onto the females, Pandora and Hope. We have forgotten the fight between God and man and revenge by Zeus. Time to forgive Pandora and write about a new hope, partly truth and partly fiction, as all life and imagination is. Hope is more than a collapsed residue stuck in a corner of Pandora's box. Hope is more than a friend to fragile dust bunnies, the remnant left when virulent pestilence, war, and famine were released upon the world from Pandora's box. Hope expands as our view expands. Let us reimagine and identify her possibilities. Hope is a strong-armed female, able to give you a hands-up of inspiration when you need it. She is part light and part darkness. She is both the flat surface on your dark walk and the light at the end of the tunnel. She has been part myth and part real. She is a promise, maybe even a false promise, that if we take our medicine, we will get better. She is a medicine woman of our own making. Only when we take the nurturing self seriously will we strengthen her power enough to materialize her. She is relaxing into surrender of what is and is not. She is with Don Quixote, swinging her sword at windmills, understanding madness and the need for company. Hope knows the loneliness of insanity and begs for understanding and forgiveness for the angry and the isolated and hopeless. Hope knows the loneliness of the sane, who question our greed and grief-filled choices. Yet hope visits scientists in their dreams, seeding success for the latest vaccine. She opens the hearts of racist Southerners so they can care about feeding starving Black children here and abroad. She's the email handle of a chronic illness sufferer who fights through pain and fatigue, always looking for a cure, always hoping to be seen, always hoping to be loved for her strengths, her beauty, and her many contributions. She's the female wolf who births and cares another litter of pups, despite dwindling food, space, and enemies who hate her kind. Wolf mother's instincts carry hope. Hope feeds resilience, empowers ideals. Hope drops courage into the hearts of those who seek her out, those who believe and want to believe in her. Hope is our mirror of our interior. In dark times, she can both reflect and hide in plain sight. She is a belief in change in the face of our own inaction. She's a belief for change in the face of our misguided action. She carries the truth of our lifeline. She is the beating heart, the breath, the hands and words of love and action, and alive and real as each of us. Hope is full of promise as the kingdom of heaven within.
I don't think there's one thing you didn't touch about hope. It was really, really cool to hear that much about hope. I like it, Dawn. I really like it.
I had a lot of detail.
Yeah. Yes, and I do remember it. But I could hear it even if you said it again, because it's very uplifting. So. Yeah. Are you there? Is everybody there?
Yeah, but
it just goes blank.
Well, we're floating on your praise.
Yeah. Well, I like it. I really do enjoy it because it's very uplifting. And you know, in this day and age with all this stuff going on, you need uplifting. And that poem is uplifted. So I like it. So, all right, where are we?
I have something for Groundhog's Day that I just...
Oh my gosh, Groundhog's Day.
So I told
him, he saw his shadow, so we got more winter to come.
More fantasy, but it's called Over and Over. Oh. I crawled out of bed, started my day with a cup of joe, with a tad bit of milk, sweet and slow. Jumped in the shower, hot waking bow, tingling from head to toe. Ready, set, go, out the door I go, off to work. The door shuts, I stumble. Turn it around. Back into my home. My alarm rings. I'm back in bed. I'm confused. Deja vu. Do I do this again? I reach for hot tea instead. Black and sweet. A little tea biscuit. Sweet, tart, and slow. A 5-minute shower. I got to run and go. In a hurry out the door. I forgot my bag. Back inside I go. I pull out my phone, it rings, rings, before you know it, I'm waking up from this dream.
Oh. What they call a sleeve job. Go ahead, girl. That's right. Lovely.
That's fun. That's very fun. Yeah.
Here's one. Get ready.
Okay.
Caro mia, my angels ring no hands together, no palms clasp in prayer, no eyes downcast. My angels do not wear robes of saffron and rainbow, or tilt their heads listening to prayers. My angels are bare-breasted, a fire ululating atop mountains. My angels are ridge runners, light-footed and glowing. My angels are powerful. They carry spears. They have no time for the puny wants of men, the small prayers of old women. They carry orders from God. They drive us on with buffeting winds like wings, like northern winds. They bite and tear our only flesh. With unholy voices, they demand and command that we also become angels. They cry out to us in terrible thunder, rumbling, get there and do this, and don't you dare give up. Don't you even think about that. I am behind you. These are my teeth and claws. don't you dare, but there you dare all for love.
Mm. I write a lot about God. You know a lot about what?
I write a lot about God and angels and such like that.
Your angels are real butt kickers.
Yep. They're super babes. They're sharks.
Take no prisoners. Take no prisoners.
What's the job of an angel? Is it to mildly sit and, hey, they're doing so well. You think it's an angel? It's a pitchfork. They're after you. Serious angels.
I would like to see what you do with cherubs, Carol.
They might be too mild-mannered. Yeah. Probably knock them out of the crib they're rocking in.
You know, I think I have one about angels too. And let me see if I can find it. Somebody else read while I do it.
Okay.
Religion.
All right. Religion. Angel.
Let me see. Yeah, I know I have it in here somewhere. Okay.
Somebody give me a page number. Somebody give me a number.
12.
20.
12?
Was 12 she first? Said, yeah.
20.
Oh, you're doing jukebox poetry. I love jukebox poetry. You remember that?
Yes, you did that. You had a whole segment one time that we had this shout out numbers. Okay, go for it.
That's great for a poetry reading. If you go out and do a reading, that's good audience participation.
Yeah.
Have them give you their numbers. So which one was it?
12.
19 or 12? 12.
She said 12, yeah.
I wanted words. My life turns itself over, an hourglass disclosing minutes by the grain. Who turns the bottle, I wish to know. Now that God and fate have worked me out from between their jaws like Scylla and Charybdis, I am changed again into who I am, not who I was. There is no room for memory with the future crowding closer. I am rendered here, whole, as upstanding an upstart as you've ever seen. This is my book.
Paper.
The poems are paper faces.
Yes.
They're all personalities, right? On paper.
Ooh, yes.
Why don't you do number 20 now while we're waiting?
Okay. Oh, this was for an old boyfriend who just was brain injured. God bless him. Making a fist of life. You have chosen to make a fist of your life. It slams into you with loss and shame, with helpless rage. You tried to project onto others and your situation, but you were like this before you pulled up your big boy pants, no? You kept chasing the amen until the church put you outside in the serenity garden, whereupon you ripped into the roses. When the usher stopped you outside once more through the nave in the righteous world, you hadn't the skills of good judgment, predictability, taking in that bigger picture, talking in the present tense, or organizing the future. No one can save anyone else without first saving themselves, no matter how good they are at the former and how lousy at the latter. Here's a quick one. Did you find it, Shirley?
I did. The reason I couldn't find it before is because I changed the title on it. But this is a poem I wrote when I was just getting into poetry. And I was wondering whether I wanted to really become serious about it. Because I thought, if I really jump off into this, it's going to take some courage, because the good poets, as I understand it, have to kind of look life in the eye, okay? Could I look this angel in the eye? What if he be fearsome Gabriel,
announcer of great joy, whose tidings loosed a virgin tongue to sing, my soul doth magnify. The self-same messenger who brooked no doubt and struck old Zechariah dumb. Should I look this angel in the eye? What if he be cunning Lucifer, renouncer of great joy, whose urgings loosed a virgin mind to taste the fruit of self-discovery, who seceded from the realm of the divine by speaking his demands for parity? Should I look this angel in the eye? Could I then inherit his fiery gaze? Would I dare to utter his infernal or his heavenly name, if in that decision I became consumed by the eternal, or damned myself to burning in the blaze of beholding with an angel's vision? If I looked this angel in the eye, would my words be swept away, become a torrent out of my control? Would I then be forced to say what hides within my virgin poet's soul? I have no touchstone on which to rely should I look this angel in the eye.
Wow, and you wrote that a long time ago?
I wrote that in 2008.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm glad you took it on.
So you were talented right from the beginning then, huh? That was put together very nicely. So you have talent right way back then. Some of us have to struggle at it.
All of us have to struggle.
Yeah. Poetry's that way. It's not forgiving. Yeah, but it's fun.
Do you have a poem, Kwan, that you like to read?
No more for me.
I have one more.
Good.
Okay. I wrote this one a while back too. I want to say my granddaughter's she's 12. So almost 13 years ago. It's called The Walk. Hear I not silence in the wind, as it appears beneath whispered echoes, airy dreams fancy neath the dawn of day. A smile from within descends. She whom his arm and claps his side, and from her breath she chanted words so quaint and sweet, gifts from where they were planted. The shadows of his charms thus pant. He spoke with power and emotion. In deepest death, his senses spoke, thy mortal eye now blinded. And thus their hearts thirst mad. Without forethought, they ran. Now out of breath, I grasp for air. I cannot breathe without thee. I long to be strands of hair thus flowing, to make one's way, a passage there now growing. Stand gracefully alone, seek ye to move, therefore more daring, leap with me this night. No sooner does your hand in mine believe there's room to dwell, bound to me, he cries. She pulls him towards her bosom, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, cheek to jowl. Together they speak. Never will thou be alone, never alone, at one and at the same, together, now and forever.
Ooh.
My Valentine.
Right. Okay, well, I'm done for the night. I have no more poetry for tonight.
Can I do one more?
Absolutely.
Sure. Who's going to do another?
A father holds his daughter's hand. As she looks out toward the world, watching for polka dot surprises and pickle nose twists, here she will be plucked from danger should it approach, be it covert or looming. From here, no harm may touch her. No wart-nosed witch bring tears. No savage future bring blood. Her hat will stay tied to her head, her coat buttoned tight to the throat. Her words are safe in his ears. No fault, no harm, no disfavor. Together they walk the world, her wishes coming to truth, her tiny boat to his vast moorings tied. All is well, and all is well. Hold tight, my child. All is well.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
Good Father's Day one, too. It would be a good Father's Day. Okay. I'm done for the night. I shall see you Sunday morning.
Carol, tell Juan and Anne Marie what you said. So they're driving down on Sunday morning. You said something about eating before you come or on the way or something.
Before you go to the poetry thing, if you're here by like 11 or 11:30, then have something to eat before you come to poetry, because the town closes, well, they roll up the sidewalks at 2:30 earlier on other days, but Sundays, the places are only open for lunch. You won't be able to get much of a dinner after the reading is what I'm saying. So eat before you come.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
There might be one place open, but, and you know, Denny's, people don't go to Denny's. People wind up at Denny's. You do not want to use our Denny's. Let's put it that way. The only time I went to Denny's.
Can't hear you, Quan. Quan, you're on mute again.
It doesn't have the little arrow that says I'm on mute.
Now you're talking again. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I have to go to a funeral Saturday. Two Saturdays in a row. Our funerals. So, and then Sunday is that, and then Monday is his surgery. So it's going to be a busy weekend.
Keep up your strength,
Do we have a topic for March?
March was what? Spring, windy, what? The wind has something to say. I have a poem. March is wind.
And the winds of war.
Can't hear you, Quan.
Muted.
There you are.
The spring equinox. Spring starts in March.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all good for the equinox, aren't we?
Yeah.
It will be the vernal equinox.
We are ready for spring.
We haven't even had winter yet. At least I haven't down here too much. Today is cold.
Yeah, today is snowing. We're covered completely.
Yeah, really old. All right. Snowing. So vernal equinox, so spring for next month, and winds, and let's hope spring arrives. And we'll see you next month at on the 2nd at 6 p.m. Same time, same station. It's Deja Vu, Groundhog Day in March. So the second.
And I'll see you Sunday over at Albertson's at 9:30 or whatever. And I'll be there at 9:20.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. And we'll see you all on Sunday.
Yeah. Have a nice ride. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I gotta go.